This recording, Quebec 5, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleecy jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an old choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Alberta, believe it or not. I was born in a small town called Beaumont, which is very near Edmonton. And I think today it might be part of Edmonton. And my parents and our family moved to Quebec when I was not even 5 years old. So we had the place in Granby in the Eastern Townships, which is east, southeast of Montreal. And I grew up there on a farm and did a lot of things because on a farm, necessity brings us to do all kinds of things. So anyway, and I went to school, to primary school in the country, and then to the city. And did my grades, and then I went to college and university. But my university, I did that at night. I took the years to get a BA, and that was my education while I was working in the company doing service to clients in the technical application. Then I went into another company and worked in marketing. And then I traveled all over the place. And I traveled the Midwest, as a matter of fact. I went to Chicago, I went to New York and Boston, everywhere. To Winnipeg and to Toronto. And that was interesting. But then after several years, I took another job, still in marketing, but working on projects for investments. And that's when I stopped working on a regular basis. Then I took retired sort of thing. And since I'm retired, I think I'm more busy than I was before. When you're French and live in Quebec, of course, all your surrounding is French. So the only way you get a little English is in your in school, in your special course in English, like once a week or sort of thing. And when I got out of school, I took a job in a company where my boss spoke only English. Then I was kind of forced to speak whatever I could speak out. That was a hard thing. But then a couple of years later, I had a ski accident, broke a leg at many places, and I stayed home for my mother's for 3.5 months. And there was nothing to do, and it was a hard thing to sit around and do nothing. So I started to get some books in English, read some literature, and of course a lot of this I didn't understand. So I had my big dictionary and went over it to see the sense of whatever I was reading, and managed to do that every day for all that while. And then while I went back to work, it was fun to see people speak English in the way I had seen it in the books. And then I could write and read and everything. Of course, the accent, it was even worse than it is today, and it took a long time to get it going fluently. Être jeune, ce n'est pas compter le nombre d'années. On demeure jeune tant qu'on s'émerveille, comme un enfant. L'enfant ne voit pas les limites. Tout est ouvert pour lui. On demeure jeune tant qu'on est ouvert à ce qui est beau, grand et bon, et qu'on est réceptif à l'univers et aux possibilités qui nous sont données pour réussir. Pour rester jeune, il faut retrouver l'enfant en nous, s'émerveiller et voir l'immensité. We remain young as long as we are amazed like the child. The child doesn't see any limits. Everything is open for him. We remain young as long as we're open to what is beautiful, what is grand, and what is good. As long as we're receptive to the universe and all the possibilities that we have to succeed. To remain young, we have to find the child that's in us. Be amazed and see the immensity